There's this story in the book of Exodus, and if you get the weekly email from the church and you read the little thing that I write at the beginning of that weekly email called Looking to Sunday, you will have heard this already, but I'm going to tell you again. There's a story. Moses was the leader of the people of Israel, and they were often going to war against other peoples. And in this particular story, Moses had to hold his hands up in the air. And as long as his hands were up in the air, the Israelites would win. And when his hands would fall to the ground, the Israelites would be losing. So the key was for Moses to keep his hands up in the air. But as you know from any time that we have laid hands on people, and I've said, hey, just reach your hand out. And after about the third person is praying, you're going, would they stop already? My arm's about to fall off, right? It's hard. And can you imagine trying to do that through an entire major battle between nations? And so there were lots of times Moses' hands would get tired. So there were these two guys, Aaron, his brother, and another guy, Hur, who we don't really know anything about, spelt H-U-R. And their entire job was to stand on either side of Moses and hold up his hands. Now, there's nothing in it that talks about what happened when their arms got tired. Maybe they were given gifts of miraculous strength. I don't know what it was. But through the entire battle, they stood there and they held up Moses' arms. Moses gets all the glory as the great leader of Israel. Aaron and Hur held him up so that he could be the leader of Israel. I think when I read letters that Paul wrote, and he talks about how he is praying for the people in the church, whether he's met them or not. And in Colossians, he had not met most of the people there. He knew Epaphras, who was the guy who planted the church there and was responsible for much of the evangelism throughout the whole area. He knew him, and through him, he knew of the people in Colossae. But he didn't actually know them personally. And yet, he never ceases to give thanks. And he never ceases to pray for them, asking God for certain things. I feel like Paul is holding up the churches the way Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms, so that the churches could have any possibility of actually glorifying God, of manifesting the kingdom of God, of being the churches they were called to be, because there was somebody, probably more than Paul, who was upholding them, praying for them, regardless of whether he knew them. And I have to say that that has been with me all week as I have been forced to ask myself, Elaine, are you praying for any of the other churches out there? Or just your own that you're personally invested in? I pray for us all the time. And admittedly, that's a little bit selfish because my whole ability to pay my rent and things is tied up in this church and us being able to be who God is calling us to be. But it's more than that because, as any of you have talked to me for even a moment know, I really believe that this church is called by God to be on mission in this part of Toronto and that we have something unique that God is calling us to. And so we need to be praying for each other, but not just for us. What would it be like in just the city of Toronto? What would it be like if just in the downtown part of Toronto, all the people of all the churches all prayed for, yes, their own churches, and then just picked two other churches they were constantly praying for? What if just every one of us who was here present today picked two other churches besides Walmer that we were praying for constantly? Just point on a map and see whichever church is the closest and go, I'm going to be praying for that one. Whether you know them or not, whether you know anything that's going on or not, to be praying for them. I was really convicted of that this week, of going, it's not just about us. It's not just about praying for us. We need to be praying for the other churches. And you know what? There are people out there who are praying for Walmer, who we don't know, who don't know us, who think, some of them think very weird things about us, but they're praying for us, like Paul prayed for the Colossians. And I think that's an extraordinary thing. And I think part of the reason why this church exists at all is because people who aren't even part of Walmer have been praying for us, have been holding us up before God, so that we can be effective ministers of God's grace and God's glory in the places where he has called us. In this first chapter of Colossians, there's two pieces to it. And Paul starts by saying, in our prayers for you, we always thank God. In our prayers for you, we always thank God. And then in verse 9, it moves to, for this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking. And so at first, there's this thanksgiving time, and then there's this asking time. And so Paul has lots of things that he's thankful for, and we talked about that last week. This week, it's all these things that Paul is asking for. He's asking that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they would know what it is that God wants of them. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, he's asking that they would know God's will. My goodness, wouldn't it be nice to know that people are praying that for us? Over the journey that we have been on, trying our best to figure out what on earth God is up to with this building and our church and all the crazy that's been going on for the last couple of years, knowing that people are praying that we would know God's will. Why, though? Why? Just so that we can survive? No, that's not why Paul was praying that. That you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. If you know God's will, the expectation is that then you're going to walk in God's will. You're going to live in God's will. You're going to do the things that honor and glorify God. So Paul is praying that they would know God's will so that they would lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, that they would bear good fruit. We talked about the whole fruit image last week. You bear good fruit in every good work as you grow in the knowledge of God. Then he prays, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while at the same time joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. This is a beautiful prayer. As I've been ruminating on this prayer all week, I've been thinking, my goodness, if I just knew that people were praying this prayer for me and for all of us at Walmer, I feel like everything would be amazing. This is a great prayer. And then the great words of faith. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's like Paul is praying for them, and then he just can't contain himself when he says, this is what it's all about. That God has rescued us from the dark. That whatever's going on in the world around us, whatever's going on in our lives around us, God has rescued us from that. That we now live in the light. We have been moved from being citizens of this world to being citizens of the kingdom of God, over which Christ is the ruler and the sovereign and the king. How amazing is that? Later, in a little bit, we're going to go to the communion table and we're going to remember what it cost Jesus to become the king and the Lord of our lives. This is extraordinary, and in everything that Paul ever wrote, he never stops being amazed at this incredible gift that God gave us. This redemption, this forgiveness of sins, the fact that nothing in us and about us, while we were created good, we have all been infected. We've all been diseased by this thing that we call sin. But because of Jesus, that has been cleansed. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. It is pulled out of us. We are made holy. We can actually be called God's children, Christ's brothers and sisters. Paul's basic prayer is, oh, I pray that you would just know that with everything in you. Because as soon as you know that, as soon as you get that, that's the crux, that's the basic of what God's will is. And as soon as you can get that and grab onto that, then you will lead lives worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You will lead lives that show good fruits, that honor Christ in all the choices that you make and the things that you do. What I want us to do with this passage, it's very hard for a preacher to do this, but what I want us to do is I'm going to read this slowly. We're going to do something that many of you are familiar with. It's called Lectio Divina. That phrase means divine reading. And what it is it's simply a way of listening to Scripture with the expectation that God has something to say to us in Scripture. Now, it's very hard for a Baptist preacher. Baptists, from the moment Baptists began, which was 400 years ago, give or take a few years, in England, rebelling against the Anglican Church and the Catholic Church and all those high state churches, we Baptists, we separated away and pulled away. And one of the very first things we did was said, oh, we better be educating our preachers so that they can preach intelligently. We better be educating our people so they know how to read scripture and read it well and engage their brains in what they do. So often, us Baptists are really good at studying scripture and pulling out the commentaries and reading what the scholars have to say and learning the ancient languages and doing all of that. And I value that. I think that's so important. We tend to sometimes be weak at just simply allowing that scripture can speak to us on its own. We tend to be weak on believing that hearing the word, what we call the living word of God, we will actually hear God speak to us outside of what the scholars have written. And so what I want us to do this morning is to listen to this prayer that Paul prayed. And so this is how it's going to go. We're going to start from the beginning, and I'm going to read through it slowly, and I'm going to invite you to just listen. If you can listen without looking and just want to close your eyes, please feel free to do that. If you need paper to journal or to draw or doodle while you listen, if that helps you listen, please come up and get something. If you need a fidget spinner or something like that, please grab that. If you need to poke the person next to you so you listen better, please don't do that. That's not helpful to them. But so the first thing that you're going to do is you're just going to listen. I'm going to read this slowly. And as you listen, just listen to see if there's something that jumps out at you, some image or some word or some phrase or some idea that grabs you. Sometimes when I do this, I get all panicky because I'm supposed to come up with the thing that grabs me. So I can't really just listen because I'm listening for the thing. I have to grab the thing that's going to grab me. Don't worry about that. This first read through, just listen. And then we'll have some time in silence. And then we're going to hear it again. I'm going to ask again at that point, hey, is there something in all of this that really grabs you? And then I'll give you instructions as we continue to go. So this first time through, again, just put yourself in the position you need to be so that you can just hear these words of Scripture, this living word of God. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Just sit with those words for a few moments. Now, as I read through it again, I invite you to ask God with me, God, if there's a word or there's an idea or there's a phrase in these words that you need us to hear, God, we are listening. Please speak. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Take some time just in the quiet of your space to repeat back to God what you have heard, to respond to what you have heard in whatever way that you need to do that. I'm going to read these words once more. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, if you are so inclined, you're not required to do this, you may want to just spend some more time and quiet yourself, but I invite you to turn to somebody who's close to you and speak out loud what you feel that you have heard from God or what kind of stood out for you in all of this. And the reason that we do this isn't so the other person can say, yes, that was definitely for God, or no, that wasn't from God, or can judge you and go, yeah, that's what you heard, that wasn't even in there. This isn't that. There's something about speaking out loud what we have heard from God that makes it a little bit more real, that makes it stick with us, so that when we leave here, we don't just go, I'm not sure that really happened. I'm not sure God really had something to say to me. And so as we share that with another person, they bear witness to the fact that God showed up and had something to say. If you're sitting there and you're going, you know, I'm not really sure that I did have anything, hear anything, share that as well with the person next to you. And we'll just take about 3 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, just to do this. And again, just with maybe one, maybe two people. And if you don't want to, and people try and partner with you, just hold up your hand or say no thank you. Don't feel that you have to share with one other person. One of the common practices that was through ancient world and right through today is the practice of meditation. And really all that meditation is taking an idea, a verse or a phrase from scripture and repeating it over and over and over again. Sometimes in the music that we sing, there's a line or there's a chorus that gets repeated. And sometimes that line or that chorus can just make you roll your eyes and wish that the song would go on. But sometimes it invites us into a time of meditation, a time when it just kind of continues on. And the idea is, with something like Lectio Divina, that whatever it is that God is saying, that it will continue to kind of circle in our minds and in our souls and in our hearts, even as we go from here, continuing to think on that particular story or that particular image and asking God, why this one? And sometimes you don't get a concrete answer. You just need to be with that piece of scripture for a while. And so what I would invite you this week is this scripture that we looked at. It's verses 9 to 14 that we looked at in Colossians 1. If you heard something, spend some time ruminating on that. Let that to just circle in the back of your mind and deep in your heart as the week goes on. If nothing, then go back to this passage. Maybe before you go to bed tonight, and maybe at some point tomorrow and the next day, read it again and read it out loud so you're not just seeing it, but you're also hearing it. And let God and trust that God always has something to say through what we know to be his living word, because it's alive and he's speaking through it for a reason that that God alone knows. He's chosen scripture as one of the primary vehicles through which he speaks to us. And so I invite you to continue to do the process, continue to take what you have heard or this passage of scripture with you today as we go from here.